We're reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1 to 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words.
Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm on the ministry team here. And it's so good to be together on this Easter Sunday. We have so much to be thankful for, especially as we open up God's Word together. Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is not just another day that falls on a long weekend. The Easter story is not just another story about popular people. Easter is the story, a love story that has changed the world and has for so many years, led to a happily ever after narrative. We don't want to miss this. For on Easter Sunday, God's great love is on full display, and we need to see it. We need to experience it today. Romans 5:8 speaks of Easter as God demonstrating his great love. And certainly when we consider the events of Holy Week, which includes, of course, Easter Sunday, in many cases, it's certainly not a demonstration of human love. As Kirsten said last week, there are no real good guys in Holy Week. For the love of God, though, that's on display is a different kind of love, an unconditional love, a love that only God demonstrates. As I have said, Paul in Romans 5 calls it great love. A disciple named John calls it greater love in John 15:13, when he said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." So why is this great or greater love so important? Again, as we were encouraged by Kirsten last week, perhaps today, instead of considering our own story and how Easter fits, perhaps our best discussion today would be about what the story of Easter Sunday is and how are we fitting into that great love story. For it's within this great love story that we personally find our name, our identity, our purpose, our destiny, and the love of our life. So let's review the Easter Sunday story. Many details are found and sorted out as we read all of the four Gospels. On that first early morning, some 2,000 years ago, it seems that some or many of Jesus' disciples were very committed to getting to the tomb as early in the week as possible. For Jesus had died a very public death. It was very chaotic just a few days prior. And with all sincerity, it seems, the disciples wanted to pay their respects graveside. The Gospels remind us that as they walked to the tomb, and again, we can only assume that perhaps they had images of the crucifixion in their minds, and perhaps they were reviewing what Jesus said just prior to his final breath on the cross. Jesus had said, "It is finished." Perhaps little did they know as they were walking towards the graveside that these three words are the most needed, the most necessary, and perhaps the most prophetic words ever spoken by anyone, still even to this very day. It is finished. Two thoughts. One scholar says this was not the despairing cry of a helpless martyr. It was not an expression of satisfaction because Jesus' suffering was finished, nor was this the last gasp of a worn-out life. Not at all. No. This "it is finished" sentence was a declaration. It is finished. All Jesus had come from heaven to do was finished. And this finished work was all that was needed to reveal the true character of God. Furthermore, all that was required by law for sinners to be forgiven, saved, and reconciled to God. It was finished. That work was done. One more very notable idea, again from another scholar, is that in the original language of these three words, "it is finished," are what is called a present tense. They speak of an action which has been accomplished in the past with results that continue in the present. It's different from the past tense, which looks back to an event and says, this has happened. Present tense, perfect tense, adds the idea that this has happened and it is all still in effect today. So, perhaps as these disciples were making their way to the tomb, yes, Jesus was dead, but what had happened on the cross was about the future as much as it was about the past. So what had happened? Arriving at the tomb, they found the stone rolled away from the entrance of Jesus' tomb, and when they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine the events of that day? While they were wondering about this, two angels appeared, asking them personally, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He has risen." Again, as we've been encouraged last week, this week, how do you and I fit into this story about Jesus' death and now on Easter Sunday, his resurrection? Perhaps a little easier to understand when we think of the death and burial of Jesus. Romans 5:8, God demonstrating his love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Perhaps we fit into this part of the story a little more easily because we know our shortcomings. We know that we get it wrong so often. We know ourselves. We know our sin. We fall short. We fit into this story of Good Friday because we need grace and mercy. We need to find someone to whom we can say, "Forgive me of my sins." But what about the rest of the Easter story? What about Easter Sunday? What about resurrection? What about Jesus alive? Many would say that belief in a literal physical resurrection of Jesus is essential to Christian faith, but the question is why? And secondly, how do you and I fit into this resurrection story? Romans 5:10, verse 8, verse 10. "How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" Paul's referencing his resurrection life and us reconciled through Good Friday, and now saved through the resurrection of Jesus. How are we saved through his life? Well, the answer is that Jesus' life, Jesus' resurrection, speaks another word that you and I must dial into each and every day, for we are saved through his life. Now, let's make this more practical. Resurrection speaks another word to your life and to my life, and it changes things. For example, resurrection speaks another word about our Savior, Jesus. For all that was said about Jesus during his public ministry on earth, and all the questions and all the curiosities, and many still have the same today, the resurrection confirms Jesus is the Son of God. For who but God himself has risen from the dead and still alive? Resurrection says Jesus is a Lord and Savior still this very day. gives people hope and a future. The resurrection speaks another word about our sinful past. For Jesus' resurrection highlights that the purpose of his death was to deal with our sins. And if he did not rise from the dead, we would still be in our sins, and there would be perhaps no God-people reconciliation. We've all heard of situations where a wrongdoing has occurred, someone has been forgiven, but the second step of reconciliation has not necessarily followed. The resurrection speaks another word about human relationships with God, that mankind can be forgiven of sin if asking and invited into a relationship with God, whoever they are, wherever they are, whenever they would ask and whatever they've done, coming to Christ for the first time or coming again and again and again and again multiple times over. For the resurrection speaks another word about our relationship with Jesus today. Jesus' resurrection speaks another word about our past, our present trials and hardships. Human life can be very, very difficult and disappointing. Our lives seldom unfold entirely the way we wish or would imagine. But the resurrection speaks another word about what we are facing and perhaps even fearing today. For the Bible says, and through Jesus' resurrection, it was confirmed, where God would say to us, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future. This resurrection speaks another word about God's plan and God's picture of his preferred future for us. Plans to help you, us carry out while on earth, and plans to give us eternal life. The resurrection speaks a word of hope that we can face today in light of the events of this day, but in sight of an eternal life that awaits us. So to the one who is sick, poor, and desolate, the resurrection speaks another word. You will not always be in the condition and present state that you're in. We have hope. Fourth, the resurrection speaks to our present health and vitality. So often we feel defeated, discouraged, full of shame, dismay, disgust, and despair. We feel sick. And these harder days and discouragement does not have to have the final say. For as Romans 5:10 says, we are saved by his life. This is the life that the resurrection speaks for us and offers to us. It's a life that he offers by which we can live and move and have our being. We get caught up in resurrection life, which is a gift to every Christian. Fifthly, the resurrection speaks another word to us about our future, our long-term future. A Christian can be hopeful knowing that to be absent on earth means to be present with the Lord. So for a Christian, physical death is not the final word. Our suffering, our disease, our brokenness, and our earthly funeral is not where final words are spoken over us. The resurrection speaks the final word about eternal destiny and life of spending an entirety with an eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And lastly, the resurrection clearly speaks of God's love for you and I right now. Perhaps we ask a question, how is God's love for mankind, even for me, even possible? I look around this world and see so many things that are happening that are so far removed from God's plan. I look inwardly and I look at my track record as well and say, how could God consistently love me over such a long period of time? There's so much going on in our lives. There's so much going on in the world. But the resurrection speaks another word. The resurrection reminds us that God's love is possible, it's present, and it's central to who he is. As Romans 5:8, which we referred to earlier, says, God has demonstrated his own love. C.S. Lewis said it this way, all his love is, as it were, bottomless and selfless. By very definition, God has everything to give and does not need to receive. So we learn through resurrection that God lacks nothing. God does not have a need that ever goes unmet, certainly in the way that we would need regular and ongoing security, stability, and affirmation of personal and intimate love. As we discuss God's own love, we have to be careful not to cross-pollinate human love with God's love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. And because of this, 1 John 4:19 says, God first loved us. This explains how God does love all of us, even when we're not loving in return. Even when we outright turn our back on him, he remains loving. He remains caring. And the resurrection of a risen Lord makes this love present and personal. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to know it. And he wants the whole world to know it. One of our favorite family movies is Elf. Now, this is Easter. Yes, I recognize it's a Christmas story. But one of our favorite lines in Elf is when Elf declares his love for Jovi, the one who works at Gimbel's. And he says publicly, remember the scene? Maybe you've not seen it. While he's dancing, I'm in love, and I want the whole, and I don't care who knows it, I want the whole world to know it. This perhaps is what Easter, in all of its simple form, is stating. God's in love with you. And he wants everyone to know it. God loves you. And why? Because God is love. And because he is love, he loves every day, and he loves everyone. Despite what is happening in the world today and within our own lives, resurrection speaks another word. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And he wants the whole world to know. As C.S. Lewis says, this is one of the greatest compliments and building blocks for our identity. God loves us not because we're lovable, but because he is love. And because he is love, he can only will what is best for us. And what is best for us is Jesus. And the resurrection of Jesus makes that love ever so accessible and ever so needed. See, Jesus speaks another word. It's a final word, which would allow us never, ever to have to question God's love for us ever again. God is love, incapable of not loving. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. So as I close, the Easter story. What is the Easter story? And how does our story get caught up in this Easter story? We are invited today, because of the resurrection, to participate in this great love story. For again, it's within God's love story that we find our name and our identity, our purpose, our destiny, and the love of our life. This great love story speaks another word over our lives today. It speaks another word over your life. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you've been doing, whatever you feel about God, you need to replace that with what God feels about you. And the resurrection of Jesus speaks another word over your life. You're loved, you're cared for. And this is the day of our salvation, for we are saved through his life, which of course is on full display on Easter Sunday. So as I conclude today, I want to pray that each one of us today participates as recipients and benefactors of this greatest love story that's ever been shown, displayed, or talked about. It's the love story of God loving you and God loving me and God loving this whole world. Receive today the gift of your salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we thank you for this remarkable story of Easter, resurrection. Resurrection that speaks another word over our lives. We pray for one another today, wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever we've been up to. We thank you, good loving Lord, that you're reaching out to each and every one of us. And by faith today, we receive you as Lord and Savior. We confess our need, we confess our shortcoming, and we come to you. We bring all of ourselves to you, knowing that you brought all of yourselves to us and you demonstrated that great love for us. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. And we say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Fill us today with resurrection life that we may live responsibly, showing that we care about you and that we love others through love and good deed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, again, thanks for joining us on this Easter, during this Easter service. We trust that you'd have a great rest of your day. May God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much for celebrating the resurrection of Jesus with us. May you go today so aware of the fact that Christ has risen and that changes everything, that Christ has conquered death, and that ultimately, even in the midst of the challenges that we face in life, Jesus ultimately wins. What a wonderful truth to leave with today. Have a wonderful Easter.